Let's put supernatural breakthrough. I think we need some help. Say, I need some help. Because if you was able to break through by now, you had already broken through. So this is a year where we feel and believe, and it's been working in many people's lives and in my life. We believe this is a year that the Holy Spirit is empowering us to break through some situations that have been in our life, maybe all our life. This is a season of breakthrough. Say, that's good news.
That's good news.
It's good news. You don't have to stay where you're at. Amen. And breakthrough is all about winning. Say, winning.
Winning.
Not just making it, but winning the battles of life. 2010 is the year to win. Say that to somebody. 2010 is the year to win. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The season to win. Thank you for that one enthusiastic person. I know you get tired of all this breakthrough and all this winning. But you know, it takes a while for some of us to get a hold of the Word of God. Don't you remember when Mama, Grandma, and Big Mother said, don't go out on the road and play? How many times did you get told that by Mama or Grandma? Now, don't go out on that road. Don't go out on that road. You just didn't tell you one time. They don't have to tell them much today because they don't even go out. But when we were growing out, they had to spank us to come in. Believe it or not, I got many a whoops on the leg because I wanted to stay out in the dirt. You know, I could take a stick and do wonders with it. I could find an old can and just have a heyday with it. Amen. But Mama had to tell us. Big Mama had to tell us. Grandma had to tell us. Daddy had to tell us. Don't go out in that road. And there's a reason you were told that all your life, because if you go out on that road, you might get killed. Amen. Now, how many of you know it took a long time for some of us to understand what 2 and 2 meant? 2 plus 2 equals 4. Some of us put 3. Some of us put 5 for a long period of time till we put our little marbles and we put 2 over here and we brought 2 over. And then we said 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, that seems elementary today. But it took time. Say it. Took time. And it takes time for the Word of God to move through all that you've been through in all your life. Especially if you had a hard life. Especially if things are not working out according to what everybody else's life is around you working. It's hard for us to press through that layer that blocks out the Word of God in our life. That's why Romans 10:17 said, faith comes by hearing. See, God tried to tell us, hearing. That means you got to hear it more than once. It don't say faith comes because you heard the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I have some success with the Word of God. I have things that are in my life, promises that are part of me. The promises of God become flesh and they dwelt among me. I mean, I just don't get sick real easy. I mean, it's been 30 years since I've had the flu or anything like that. I just received the Word of God. But I didn't start that way. I had to say a lot while I was sneezing and blowing my nose and having fevers. I'd have to say, you know, by His stripes I'm healed. It took a while before that healing got into my heart and become part of my life. The soul of my life had to become cultivated so it could receive the Word of God. It's the same way. Hearing about breakthrough, winning, and all that. If you're in a tough situation, you got a battle going on, but you can win. Say, it's part of the process. You want to win, don't you?
Yes.
You want to break through some obstacles, don't you?
Yes.
Well, I do.
Yes.
Say, I do.
I do.
Amen. So, Breakthrough is all about winning the battles that are in your life. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, the Bible says, "Know ye not that ye which run a race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye might obtain." The Message Bible says, you've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs. Only one wins. So run to win. Shout with me, I want to win. You got to grab hold of that. See, things in the Spirit, sometimes they're, the Word of God will impregnate you with the first time you hear it. It did me in health and healing because I was so sick and dying that when the Word of God came to me, by His stripes I am healed, it was like it jumped out of the page into my heart. And it become real in me at that moment. But other things, prosperity and other things in my life, I had to grab it. I had to take hold of it. I had to believe it by faith. I had to work at it. It didn't come easy. And winning doesn't come easy in a hostile world. It's so easy to think we play dead. It's so easy to get comfortable with the battles of life. But you see, Paul said for us to run the race, not so we could just finish, but run the race so we could win the thing. Winning is fun. Say, winning is fun.
Winning is fun.
Amen. We win in 2010. Don't that just sound good? It has a ring to it. We win in 2010. That is, if you have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Now it amazes me, always does, but this is the power of the Word. And I had to get comfortable with it over the years. Everybody's not going to grab it. But there are some that do, and that's the pleasing part. Is if you see one person grab it and begin to win the battles of life, it has a lot of soothing and gratitude to a minister and a pastor. But I want all you to grab this year as a special year for your life. Amen. And we already in May, January, February, March, April, May. We're going to be entering into the half of the year come June. Yeah. Now some of us grabbed a hold of breakthrough. Some of you have been sitting here by faith. And you have been enduring the Word by faith. It's all right, amen. I've been in churches when the Word came forth that just made me mad as you know what. I used to take Brother Jeff to Creflo Dollar's church, Pastor Dollar up there. And you know, we've been going a long time, and Pastor Jeff had just come out of some circumstances and looked like he lost the battles of life. And every time we went up there, he don't realize it, but I'm telling him, and it's true, my wife will verify this, he came out complaining about something. Amen. I mean, because he had a battle going on with his circumstance and what he'd been through, and it looked like he would go never get his blessing. But how many of you know things changed? Amen. Jeff's sitting in the blessings of life. He don't have to worry about nothing. Amen. All you got to be concerned is that you don't talk about me. He'll get you about that. Amen. But we know what it is to sit under the Word of God till it just makes you want to just holler. Don't you to run out and say the hogwash with all that. The heck with that. But you gotta endure that Word for a season. Until that Word becomes a part of your life and that Word has the ability within it. You don't have to struggle when you really grab hold. Because the Word has within it the ability to bring it to pass. See, the Word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword.
That's right.
See, the Word of God, the Bible says that it goes forth without void. The Word of God is without void. I mean, it when it goes out, it accomplishes that which pleases the Lord and accomplishes that what it was sent out to do.
Right.
It cannot return unto the Lord void.
That's right.
It does something. Say, the Word of God does something.
The Word of God does something.
The Word of God is better than liquor.
Better than
wine. See, you can forget your problems for a short period of time when you're drunk, they say. I've never been drunk on wine, but I've been drunk on the Spirit. I've walked this pulpit many a time aching all over my body, headache, my foot when it was giving me trouble. I could barely get up here, but preaching, I could run, jump, butt. And when I got through and go home, I'd be, oh my Lord, what did I do to my foot? So the Word of God has the ability within it, the power. It's the power of God. It has the ability to bring it to pass. And that's why you have to grab hold of it in the midst of your circumstances, in the midst of your trials, when it seemed like, man, everything's tough and rough. That's when you grab a hold of it and say, I'm going to grab a hold of God's Word. And I'm going to hang on. Until the Word becomes a part of my life. Amen. Amen. So here's the thing about winning. Winning means a lot of things to a lot of everybody. I mean, your definition of winning may be that you would like to have enough money to pay your bills. Your winning may be that, man, I'd like a new car. Mine's just a piece of trash. And I know God says that I can have a new car. I think I'd like to have a new car. And when you get the new car, you won. It may be a new house. It may be a husband when you ain't got a husband. Winning means a lot of things to a lot of people differently. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 in the New Living Bible, it says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. Paul is talking about is us believers. How many believers I got here? How many shouters do I have here? See, sometimes you have to be your own cheerleader. David was his own cheerleader. When he came in from Ziklag and all the people had come and stole his wives and all the people, they wanted to stone David. And the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes you just got to call it out, what the Word of God is. Call the Word of God out in your life. Regardless of what you look like, you can still be happy that God said you can be a winner. Say, I want to win. You want to win in this, in these battles of life. Amen. So the world's winning is getting a prize that will fade away. But our winning is a prize that's eternal, that never fades away. Let me tell you what winning is. You might want to write this down. Winning to a believer is being in the will of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes watching Christian TV will mess you up. I mean, I know over the years, having a small church, and then my brother over here tell you, Pastor, look at a big old church. You know, they got thousands, and you know what they do, and they look like they don't lack anything. It'll mess you up when you go to church on that Sunday and you got five folk. Your mind will mess with you. And sometimes we have let things mess with us. I'm going to tell you something. Being in the will of God is not something you have to strive for. It's not something you have to use fear with. Fear never moves God. Listen, I've come to realize, and I'm a faith person, but I've come to realize how vast and big God is. That God is in everything. He fills up everything that is good. As we sing, God is good. He's not trying to be. He don't have to fast to be. He don't even have to work on it to be. God is good. God is love. He's not trying to love you. You don't have to coach him into loving you. You don't have to perform for him to love you. It's impossible for God not to love you, because God is love. He loves the homosexual. He doesn't like their lifestyle, as I don't. I love him. He loves the drunken. He loves. For God so loved that he gave. And sometimes we don't think God is able to get his will worked out in your life. But if you live long enough and God wants you to do something, I don't know if you know this or not, you'll eventually do it. You may go through hell before you do. And when you do it, you may be at the point of your life you've lost everything you've had and wind up in a jailhouse somewhere. I wind up on, and God doesn't do these things, but God is involved in our life. And he's written our life before we were ever born. And he's going to have his way in your life. Whatever his call is, whatever his desire is, believe me, God's big enough to bring it to pass in your life. So don't fret over it. When you hear a sermon about the will of God, we get all worked up. I think the Lord called me to be an apostle of the nations. Well, you ain't never preached one time. Just forget all that. Just, if it's for you to go over to Africa and apostle a church, you'll get there. You'll get there. God's going to work his plan out, what I'm trying to tell you, in your life. So winning is doing the will of God in your life. Winning is obeying God. We need to know that. Amen. You see, if God is happy with me, I'm winning. Regardless of where I live, I drive. See, you have to have a revelation, because we're prone to look at somebody's life we think's winning, that might be living in a more fancier house than we're living in, driving a more fancy car than we're living in, and maybe got a little bit more money at the time than we have, but their life is totally in shambles. They're in pornography. Their wife wants to leave them. They're just all kind of messes. We think, we don't know what they're doing in the secret times of their life, but winning to God is when we are happy. And God is happy in us because we're winning. We're walking by faith. And walking by faith doesn't mean you win all the time. See, there again, winning may be to you is having a good car. And if you don't, that means you ain't won in prosperity. Listen, I've been there. You can drive a piece of junk and praise the Lord. That's how I got the car I got. I drove the piece of junk and praised the Lord. Well, if you're not faithful in what the least, you can't be faithful in the great. Until you appreciate what God gave you. I'm preaching now. Appreciate that house you live in. Regardless of what it looks like. Until you become appreciative of it. And if you have to hang on the window some sheets, put something on the windows. Put some paint on it every once in a while. Because until you appreciate what you have, God will never give you more. Amen. So winning is faith. Can't separate faith and winning. See, we try to keep score to win. But remember, our prize is not something of the flesh. Our prize is something of eternal things. Very few people, sad, ever get to the place in their life where they're really happy with God. One reason we praise the devil so long, we've made him bigger than God. And we've kept score so long. Come on now. I'm sure the truth is known. Brother Kennedy just lost his youngest brother. A brother to him was like a son, took care of him and took care of his mother. I'm sure in his flesh and his body and his mind, he just liked to go somewhere and just hide for a few weeks and months till he feels better about the passing of his brother. But he's sitting here this morning listening to Pastor Mike talk about winning in life when he's lost his brother. Now what you got to understand is don't keep score. You can't say, well, you know, I've lost because of my brother died this week and the Lord must not love me. No. You don't keep score in this thing I'm talking about. You walk by faith. Right in the midst of the fire, you're walking in faith. You please. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please Him or God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So if you're walking in faith, you're pleasing God. God's happy with you. Turn and ask somebody, is God happy with you? Now don't lose me today. It's a lot of word in here. This is one of those CDs you need to listen to till you grab it. Because you 99% of the people here are living way below their means in God. 99% of the people here have really not grabbed a hold of what God has provided on this side of eternity. We can get happy about heaven. We can get happy about missing hell. But we just can't get happy about life. Isn't that sad? We live in hell and then get to heaven. See, some people have two hells in their life. Hell on life and hell down there. But thanks be to God, if you're a Christian, you might have hell here, but you won't ever live in it. Eternal. But I'm telling you what, God got a plan that we can have heaven on the earth. And very few people ever get to that place. Amen. If the Lord's happy with you, you're winning. We just got to be careful. We don't compare ourselves to somebody we don't know. I mean, we ought to learn by now, especially the last 2 or 3 years, that the big shots, some of the big shots that have fallen, they didn't have what we thought they had. I'm convinced this world is full of wonderful preachers that have never been discovered. That could out-preach a lot of preachers you see in vast churches. A lot of singers that have never been discovered. Worshippers that have been, musicians that have never been discovered. But God knows where they're at. And in due season, He'll exalt them if they be faithful. So we have to be careful we don't compare ourselves one to another, whether we are winning or losing. Because if you do that, you'll never advance in life to your winning attitude. That's the thing I want to talk about. Is in order to win, you got to have a winning attitude. Say winning attitude. Winning starts with a winning attitude. And you can't have a winning attitude when you're thinking you're losing. Who's keeping score? I want to know. I grew up in legalistic church. And that's a church that kept score. You had to dress real right, according to them, to be right. They're keeping score. Because I know some of the meanest people I ever met were people who dress right. Come on, help me now. Some of you grew up in churches like that. Mean as a devil. Look at you with that nose. I wonder if they drown. They ought to drown when it rains. The nose is so stuck. I can't say it because I got to learn because we're going to go on the internet if people listen to God. And we're going to go all around the world with the faith message. It's time to do that. But you're going to have to give to get it done. Amen. So I have to be careful now. But there was a denomination that I knew that measured on with their nose stuck up in the air. Everybody else was wrong, but they was always good. They dressed right, looked right, and they walked around. Some great preachers, but look, they've changed these days. They accept more than we accept. Who is keeping score anyway? I have observed people all my life. And I learned a long time ago, I can't tell you who really got it. My spirit bears witness with a lot of people, but there have been some folk didn't last. I thought, man, they'd be like angels. I thought they would be so grounded and gifted with God. They didn't last a week. Then I saw people who, man, they're not going to last a Monday, that are still working for God. See, you can't keep score and win. Turn to somebody. You can't keep score and win. No. And you can't have a winning attitude keeping score over your life. Proverbs 23:7, you know this, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we can't think wrong and be right. We can't see ourselves losers and be winners. Amen? You've got to see yourself. Your attitude has to be an attitude of winning. And if you're still breathing and you love the Lord, and you have a desire to love the Lord, you're winning. Your winning's not based on what you drive, where you live, and who you know, and how much money you're carrying in your billfold. Lord, I ain't got my billfold in my pocket. What? Or in your money clip. Winning is that you're pleasing the Lord, that you're walking by faith, and you're not keeping score. That's why we don't have deacons, I mean. Deacons. Well, our brother already said if we had deacons here, we couldn't shout like this. You don't know. I've been there. I've had letters written to me. I ain't even go there. I've had, yeah. Nah. 1 Peter 1:13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Message Bible said. Because your attitude means everything. Your attitude means your longitude. If you get your thinking up, you go up. If you get your thinking down, you go down. If your thinking can't get you any further out of your door, that's as far as you're going. You can't get past a $100 bill with your thinking, that's as far as you're going. If you can't think about giving God $5,000 of your money one day, you'll never get there. Somebody said, if I had it, I'd give it. Well, if you're not giving now, if you had it, you wouldn't give. That don't cost you nothing. Roll up your sleeves. Put your mind in gear. That's what the Message Bible says. Be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming. Be totally ready for August when the wind will hit us. Be totally ready when that wind comes across and you hear it, to be ready to flow, go with the flow. Have your sail ready to go to a new level of your life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Get ready for it. Turn to somebody and say, get ready. Now you need to write this down somewhere. This is simple. God wants you to win. Well, preacher, that don't mean that. Yes, it does to somebody like me who grew up in a church that you couldn't win till you got to heaven. It means the world to me. That you had the good old heaven was, won't it be wonderful there? And never be wonderful here. That you couldn't have a happy day. No smiley faces, no happy campers. Toil, strive, press, work, work, work. Only when you get there, they put some more work on you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Here you are, you come out of sin and you ladies took your pants off and you put your dresses on and your culottes. Then the next thing, well, you can't have a sleeveless blouse on now. Once you get the sleeves in your blouse, well, you got to take off some of that makeup now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It means the world to me when I understand. Now I can have some good days in the kingdom in the now and now. I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to live in it. I can live in heaven now. I can have a good old day now. Amen. In the now and now. See, it's a deep subject when you hear it. Depends on where you've been in life. Best if you're keeping score, and most everybody here keeps score. If you feel Jesus, He must be with me. I watch you on Sundays. I mean, I observe people. I'm a shepherd. I know when you're up because I see you shouting. I know when you're down when you don't shout. Now, what does that have to do with shouting? The Bible says shout with a voice triumphant. It didn't say whether you felt like it up or down. Just shout. I learned a long time ago when I wasn't right with God how to work this thing. Because we used to have really prophets and apostles come in my daddy's church and they could point you out. They hunt you up. Sinners, they'd hunt you up. And they'd read your life. I mean, they didn't prophesy you're going to get $100 next week. They prophesy you've been out in the woods with some woman. You better stop that. In the church. Me and Jeff, brother, we got pretty good. We knew how to shout when everybody was shouting, but we didn't have no shout. But we shouted any old way. They come down to the altar. We just got around the altar. And when they lay hands on us, we fall out before they ever touch us. They didn't know no difference. Brother Griffel said, fake it till you make it. I don't think you ought to fake nothing, but anyway. You got to have a winning attitude all the time to win. And you got to shout like you're winning. I had all these preachers that we have here. We got about 10 preachers in our church licensed here. And I met with them. And I said, guys, you got to get in with the program. I almost told them, but it'd be legalistic. I said, when I shout, I want every one of you to shout. You think I feel like shouting all the time, don't you? Man, I reached down this morning to pick up a bar of soap and my back just said, boop, closed up on me. I started hollering. What's wrong with you? I said, I went to reach up to get the... And something... I felt my muscles in my back. You say, whoop. You ever felt that before? They tightened up. Penny had to come pick up stuff for me. Well, one good thing is that... Never mind. I know you want to know what I was going to say. I just tell you. She had to drive me off. That was fun. Amen. Glory to God. Come on, man. Amen. Hey. There goes that little thing across there. That little thing across the internet. Don't pay attention to anything he just said. I'm so free. I love being drunk. Jeremiah 29:11, you know this says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expectant end." I like what the English version says. This is God speaking. He said, "I alone know the plans I have for you, plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster, plans to bring about the future you hope for." See, God's not talking about the somewhere off in the by and by. When you die and think Peter might let you in, he's not talking about that. He's talking about right now. He wants to give you prosperity and not disaster. To give you hope for what you're believing for. Right now. Oh, this is another sermon I already preached, but you need to live in the moment. Quit living anywhere else but the moment. Don't look back, don't look forward. Live in the moment. Now, faith is the moment that you live in. So if you learn right now as a man of God, I don't care if there are preachers the word to you, live in that moment as he preaches, then that word will take root in your heart. But if you're always thinking about what I should have did, what I might do with it, just live in the moment of it. When you hear the word of God says he wants to give you prosperity, something should leap. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! But you saying, "I'm not living in it. You ought to see my house. You ought to look at my car." See, you're not living in the moment. When you hear the word of God say, "God wants to give you prosperity," hallelujah! Yeah. Live in that moment. In that moment, we become a second. And that second will become a minute. And that minute will become an hour. And that hour will become a day. And you'll be living in the prosperity of God. Yeah. Now, that's a revelation I've never given before. That's how you receive the word of God. That's how blind Bartimaeus received his sight. He's the only blind man that hollered out. But we want to feel it. We want something to change, really. That's the problem with us. I'm on another sermon. But we want to feel something change before we really say glory to God. And that negates faith. God's a million miles away from anything like that. That's manipulating God when you say, "I feel God, therefore He's moving." God moves all the time. Has moved. Just forget it. Let's major on that. God's already moved in your life. It already gave you a future that has prosperity in it and not disaster. Oh, hallelujah. If I could put a reel-to-reel video up here, something, and show you segments of our lives, Penny and mine and others, how we trusted God and we shouted in the dark arenas of our life. When we didn't have nothing. When we heard that God wanted us to have, we acted like we had it. Yes. I told you one time, we had cars, but my kids wouldn't let us, at preaching faith, didn't want us to drive to the school. We'd have to let them out a block before the school. I had a home I lived in. I invited a preacher over right there on the dinner table. Roaches come out of the wall and right across his plate. Most embarrassing. I mean, our house was clean, but it was in apartments. And you know how in apartments, roaches can come from the other side. Anybody ever been in a house? No, we don't have no dirty. Look at me. My hair's always the same. My car's always clean. But we've been where the roaches were in the house. We've been where the cars were bad. But we got up and we preached it. Glory to God. We shouted with the millionaires. We sat down with millionaires. People who had jet airplanes to fly all over the world. We ate with them and we talked with them. And lo and behold, we get in our car, wouldn't even roll the windows down, and travel home praising God. Playing tapes about God wants us to have something. We didn't cry about it. We praised God on the way home. For that moment, we were living in prosperity. In the inside. Woo! No, but we want to feel it. How belittling that is to faith. That we want to feel saved. We want to feel healed. My God, bigger than that. Your God is bigger than your feeling. If all you want to do is feel God, He'll never be a big God in your life. It's when you get out and, oh, my children used to do this when weird people, we thought at the time, would come by the house. They talk about all these things. They'd leave and my kids would go, woo, 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 woo. But I done figured out faith is really weird. I mean, sometimes you just got to say things that seem like right off the wall, crazy. Have you lost your mind? Absolutely, I have the mind of God. Hey, hallelujah. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers." He's not talking about waiting till you get to heaven. He's talking about winning right now. Winning through the battles of life right now. Shout with me, right now. Listen to what the Good Word translation says. Dear friends, now this is going to blow your mind. I don't know if you're ready for this. I'm going to say it anyhow. Jeff and Brother Kennedy may have me in office Monday, but that's all right. I'm a big boy. Dear friends, I know that you are spiritually well. I pray that you're doing well in every other way and that you're healthy. See, most of our life is trying to fix something that's well. Our spiritual condition is well. Your spirit, whether you believe it or not, cannot get one ounce more born again. When the Lord Jesus came into your life, your spirit was made alive. It cannot be dead. If there's a little bit of deadness in your spirit, then you're not alive. You've been quickened by, you've been translated from darkness into light. Your spirit man is well. We've been trying to get him well. He's well. It's these other things that are not well. This is what's going to blow your mind. Not only does God want you spiritually filled in your spirit, but God wants your pocketbook filled.
That's right. Yes, He does. Overflowing.
There's not a pastor in here that would come against this. I've seen it. I've watched it. You can serve the Lord so much better when you have some money in your pocket. I know it's not, it's one of those winning and losing score things, but it's just human nature. You can serve the Lord much better when you can pay your bills. You can. You can have that humble stuff, keep me poor and I'll serve you, Lord. You can have that. If you want, if you believe that, then drive a T-model. Don't even drive. Ride a bicycle. You'll be real humble and feel real good. Especially in 90-degree weather, you'll feel real good going down the highway. Thinking, I'm so humble today. I humble myself. I'm driving this bicycle. Full baloney. I hear people, I got a humble pastor. He won't drive nothing but a Ford. He don't need no BMW or a Mercedes. Well, if you want him more humble, then take the Ford away and give him a tricycle. Wouldn't that be nice? My pastor drives a tricycle. He's so humble. I'm messing with you, but I'm having fun. God's not only interested in you being filled with the Spirit of God. He's interested in the whole life being filled with blessings. Your whole life. Say whole life. Amen. You see, listen. Praying in tongues because you broke is not God's plan. God's plan is to you is not being broke and pray in tongues. Listen to me. I'm telling you. We are not walking by faith. We're pleading with God to do something He's already made available. But we've walked so below our privilege, we are begging God to bless us when we are the blessed. I just read all that. We're praying in tongues to get our bills paid when we ought to be believing and then praying in tongues. Do you know you only get what you believe? Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. Then you shall have it. So praying in tongues to get God to do is not faith. Well, glory to God. Actually, praying in tongues is when you pray when you don't know how to pray. You pray in tongues. So if you know you need $20, just ask God for it. Or ask Him for wisdom on how to get the $20. And I'll tell you what the wisdom is. Go to work. Sell something. I've sold everything before and got it back. Hey, some of you would be surprised how rich you are. Pull out some of them things you never use. Sell them. Well, you got four electric saws. Four of them. And they're going to cut your lights off. Fool, sell one of them. Keep your lights on. I got four saws, but I can't plug them in. I ain't got no electricity. Sell them. You can sell anything on eBay. Come on. You sell your wife on eBay, you sell anything. But your attitude's got to be right. Because some of you will let your lights be cut off and you'll think it's a humbling experience. I'm serving the Lord. I paid my tithes this week. I didn't have no money left over, so they turned my lights off. You in a shakaba, 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 shakaba. Come tie my tie, Lord. Do something, do something. And the Lord's saying, go sell something. Go work. Cut somebody's lawn. Do something and get your lights back on. Because your kids will watch you over there praying. And you can do something about your mess. I'm preaching. Being blessed is not being in love with God and broke. See, I know this. It's God's desire that your spiritual life, I just read it, and your material life be on the same level. Now, really getting quiet, Sister Pam. That's God's plan. See, religion don't, it can't put it. Religion just will never, if you're not a word person and know the will of God for your life, you'll never see it like this. But see, God, the Bible said, He doesn't withhold anything from those who walk uprightly and love Him. He don't withhold. It's all right to drive a nice car and love the Lord. Come on. Don't you ever, if I hear you do it, and it takes me a lot to confront people. I go around the world to tell you what I don't like. about yourself. But you, don't you ever, ever make light of somebody being blessed. Don't you ever. If you do, you stop immediately the blessings of God upon your life. I don't care who you are. I told somebody this morning, he's talking about, I got my life together now. I'm hearing the Lord. I said, don't worry about getting your life together. If God will use an ass, he'll use you. A donkey. I'm sorry. If God will use a donkey, he'll use you. At least I didn't say if God's going to use, he'll use your. And I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I want you to hear what I'm saying. Don't get proudful. I got my life together now. I can hear the Lord. The Lord can talk to anybody in here. If you obey the Lord, you can give the message and somebody be edified, quickened, and made alive. Even in your mess. I'm not glorifying your messed up life, but He can do that because He's God. And He does do that. God blows my mind every time we have a prophet come in. He'll prophesy that somebody's got a messed up life. I say, just tell them to come to church and pay the tithes. He's over there telling them they're going to be wealthy and they're not even faithful in there. You know how prophets are. But God's giving them a message. That's what they can be. But they need to pay tithes and be faithful. But God will mess us up. God wants us to win. This is our winning season. I'm going to skip through some things. I'm going to give you this. I got 5 minutes. Let me give you some actions. See, faith without works is dead. Let me give you some actions that will bring on a winning attitude in this breakthrough year. The first one is, you must have a vision to win. Regardless of what you're going through, you must see yourself winning. We already talked about that. You must see yourself winning in some way. Regardless of what you're going through. If you're having marriage problems, just your wife fix you a ham sandwich rather than a steak sandwich. Be grateful for the ham sandwich. See yourself winning. At least she fixed you something to eat. Huh? Well, my wife won't have that. Did she say hello to you? That's good. At least she's talking to you. You're winning. Was she there when you went home? That's a real good thing. You're winning. Focus on that. Get something in your life that speaks you to you, that you are progressing through life. See, that's the hardest thing to do when your life's a turmoil and you're sitting in these kind of services. Your mind is, Pastor, that's not happening to me. You're winning. You're here. You're listening. It's going to change for you. Change is part of the process. Just keep moving along. Keep moving. Proverbs 29:18 says, you know, this is where there is no vision, the people perish. The New American Standard says, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. When you don't see yourself winning, you go anywhere and do anything. Trying to make it happen. If you're a child of God, you can't lose. You'll never be on the bottom with God. Now, you'd be tough. Steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. He delights in the way. Though he fall, the Lord will not utterly cast him down, but will hold him with his right hand. You'll never hit the bottom if you're born again. You can get pretty low, but God will raise you up. We went to this church one time, this large church, and they were filming a program. They wanted me and Penny to be there with this filming. They had a lot of large churches, but we just had favor. And they wanted to know what prosperity was. And they were saying prosperity is, and a lot of them, bless their heart, were talking about the houses. And when it got to me, I said, I'm going to give you a simple answer. Prosperity is having Jesus. And they moved right past me. It was like, they didn't ask, well, what do you mean? It just moved past me. Prosperity is when you got Jesus. Because if you got Jesus, you got prosperity. What is prosperity without Jesus? You can have the house. It's not prosperity. So if you got Jesus in your heart, you're winning. You're on the winning side. Amen. Where there's no goals in your life, you waste time. Some of you adults need to visit the dream room. You really need to have a sign-up pad in the front. We'll let a couple of weeks go in there. A couple of weeks. Right? Don't take all my people. Well, I'm giving. They didn't ask me. But I'm giving you. Get a sign-up list out there, and you can visit it. You can't stay there because there's pretty good stuff coming over the pulpit here. But you want to visit the dream room. Some of you need to visit the dream room and dream in your life. Have a vision and goal for your life. You think you're surrounded because you got children and you got this and you got that. That God's plan has been averted in your life. Listen, we're just now living. I'm open age. We're just now getting into the glory of God. Just having fun right now.
Yeah.
I done made my mind up. I'm going to blaze out. I'm not going to dry up. I'm going to blaze out. I'm telling you, I think about it all the time. God, when I leave this world, I saw people dried up like prunes, and all the work of the Lord was so hard for me, and I gave all my life for Jesus, and I had to live here. I want to blaze out where when they look at me, that sure was a blessed man. He was so blessed with his money. I remember when he paid my light bill. I remember when he gave me some money when I didn't have some. I thank God for that Michael Merritt. He was a given man. I want to blaze out. I want to store up and leave. I want to leave so much money. My children are looking for me to die. Nah, that was just... What do you want this year to be? What's your goal for this year? Continue as you are? What's your goal? Get a goal. I want my car paid off this year. Something like that. I want my house painted. I want a new deck. Because if you don't got no goal, you're not going to go nowhere. I want a new pair of shoes by the end of this year. Special shoes. Like red shoes. Like Dorothy had. Just like them. You'd be surprised. Some of you never looked at real shoes. Like Jeff said, he want a real suit. You know, a real suit, you can get $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 for a real suit. I can take you right there today and try on coats for $2,500. Just a jacket. No pants with it. I got shoes in my closet given to me. $500, $600 pair of shoes. Now, I wouldn't buy them. I'm bad on shoes. My wife wouldn't let me buy a pair of shoes. $600. But they were given to me. I mean, some of you folks think shoes is $29.95. You may have to believe God for a pair of new good shoes. I like a facelift. Not me, but I'm somebody. That'll go. Mark needed some teeth, glory to God. He got some brand new chonkers right there. Set a goal to go to school. He's going to school. He's going to graduate from yeah, go. Yeah. Hey, go. Chakabola. Brad had a goal to cook. Couldn't get no job nowhere, so the Lord sent him a barbecue cooker. Mercy. I went out there yesterday. That's some of the best, honestly, the best barbecue I ever put in my mouth. Yeah, his theme is. Wait now, I got it. I got it. From the pit to the palace, a feast fit for a king. That's on his card. From the pit, barbecue pit to the palace, a feast for a king. Show. Some of you need to quit working for the company and own it. Well, you can't start a business in a recession. I got documentation saying money can be made. In the Depression, people got wealthy and rich. those who had wisdom in what to do in that season. So don't tell me your condition depends on what the world is. Money, there's money. Listen, there is money to be made if you got a goal. Oh, I done. Zero. Number two, once you begin to see it, you have to nail it down. That's what I said, nail it down. Once you get the vision, you got to grab hold of it like a bulldog. Some people, that's where people mess up when they really got a goal. They don't have it nailed down inside. They don't. You got to bite down on it like a bulldog. They think everybody's happy. Brad, everybody's not happy because you got a smoker. We got people who are saying, "I didn't get one." You fool, you're supposed to stay next in line. I done told you over and over, over and over and over and over and over. I can't tell you no more over. When somebody gets blessed, your words, regardless of what you think, your mind may, well, he didn't deserve it. How in the world did he get it? Your mind should say, next, next, next. Until you can say next, you won't get it. Next. Next. The devil and a lot of people, they're not supportive of your vision and dreams. It surprised you. Never ask nobody their opinion of your dream. Don't ever run it by nobody. Don't. You guard that thing. You hide that thing. You hide it till you're bold enough to release it. Because when you release it, the devil's going to jump on it. And the people you thought would help you are going to look at you and say, I told you I hid the prints for this building a long time, a month or two. I carried them around. More than that, 6 months. I didn't let nobody know nothing I was going on. I had to get it in my heart. I had to get to the point I could boldly say, we're going to build this building. Because you know what? When you got it in your heart, you can't hear what people say. It don't matter what you say. It really doesn't. You got a word from God. You got it, man. When you get a word from God, you got all you need. It don't matter what people say. Grab a hold of that vision. Hold on to it. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. The word lay hold in the Greek means to, listen, it means to lay hold on something with a hostile content. It means to seize the thing. It means to snatch it up. Like a purse snatcher. That's mine. Then I used to do that. I mean, in my early days, fanatical days, it was more dramatic than now. I mean, I'd hear something, I'd say, whoop. I'd be in a service. That's word. And I'd put it, whoop, whoop. I'd grab it hostile. Snatch it. See, that's why I say you need to take this CD and listen to it till you can preach it. Just like me and Brother Jeff did and others, Penny, and we listened to the thing. Listen until we tore the tapes up. We put them back together. We kept tearing them up. Until we kept them, got them inside. We grabbed a hold. Number three, listen to this. I'm closing. Once you have a vision to win and you nail it down, you run the race like your tail's on fire. You run the race like your tail's on fire. I got it. Woo, I got it. Woo, I got it. I thought that's pretty good. If you're still trying to get somebody to convince you that this is breakthrough year, you've never got 1, 2, and 3. You've got to receive that word by faith. You've got to grab a hold of it, and then you run that thing like your tail is on fire. You can't be slothful about it. You can't drag in the church. You come in with your hands. Bless your heart. I know you don't feel like it. I can't give you an excuse for it. I know it's hard on you. I know things ain't working out for you. But you come in here with your tail on fire. You worship God. with all your might. You don't listen to all the crap that goes on and all the negativism that people have about all the things they're saying about the year. There are people hollering this year. And now listen, it's not my year. My year is breakthrough. My year is winning. I'm telling you, when I cross over the end of this year, you ain't seen nothing yet. I got things to do. I got goals set. I got visions and dreams that I got to accomplish. Not next year, but this year. Because my tail is on fire. For the Lord, I got to do it. I got no choice. I can't lay down. I'm like him. I got to go. I'm getting old. What I want to do all these things? I don't got no choice. It's something burning in my soul. Something's on fire on my tail. I got to run this race to win. I'm not running it to go to sleep. I don't have time to rest. Only time I have rest when I go to Cabo, and when I come out, I go back to work. We work every day here in this ministry. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We off on Friday sometime, but we're always here. We come here anticipating success. We don't have time to lay in the bed, to give up, to cave in, to say, well, there ain't no money. The church ain't got no money now. We can't do this. We're drawing plans. We're talking to people. We got people we talk to with vision. We talk to people about cameras and the internet to go all over the world to make DVDs of everything we do. We talked about going down. We got 30 acres of land just down about an hour and a half from here. We're going to go down there and make a place that we got a house on it. We're going to make a place we can have camp down there, and we can ride four-wheelers and whatever we want to ride. We're making plans. It don't matter if I got no money. Money don't mean nothing. Money comes when you got a vision. Without a vision, what do you need money for? You ain't got no vision. You ain't need no money. Hey! You run this thing. Let's stand. You run this thing like your britches on fire. Shaka bola. Mana masanora bakadesa. Nemini sola la banga desa bola la masa dekasa. Yeah, some of you all to be running around right now. You ain't got enough money to buy supper. You all the ones all be praising God.